Delighted to have you with us today. Today is the day a bunch of our kids and some of our adults will be leaving for camp, and invite you to join with us in your prayers that we will have a good week and it will be beneficial. It's also the continuation of a busy summer for our teens. I keep meaning to make mention of this, and I always think about it at second service. And this morning I remembered first service, so I made myself a note. And every year, you are so generous with regard to the help with the mission efforts that our teens are involved in. There have been several announcements that have been made, and it's a weekly part of the announcements in our bulletin. But I wanted to give you a reminder, if you've been intending to help them this year, that those works are upon us. And the teens do a lot to try to raise money from the letters that they write and other things. But if you would like to help and are able to help, then it would be beneficial with those mission efforts that are coming up. Tomorrow's the 4th of July, and this may not seem like a lesson that pertains to the 4th of July and the birth of our country. But I believe it does in a very important way. Not so much going back and taking a look at our history, but remembering one aspect of it. I believe it was either George Washington or Benjamin Franklin, I can't remember which one, was approached after the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the making of the Constitution. He was approached by an individual who asked him, "What have you done?" And he says, "We have given you a republic, if you can keep it." And so many things written by our forefathers in regard to our country emphasized again and again and again that this republic, this democracy that we have, cannot survive without Christianity, without religion. And that it must have that, or it will become chaos. And individuals will go toward being exactly what they want to be and doing what they want to do. That all ties in with this lesson that I wanted us to think about this morning from the standpoint of my words. And I'm going to lose track for a little bit, or at least seem to, but we're not. And we'll come right back to it. So I want you to follow along with me. Last week, we sang this song in every one of our worship services. It wasn't by design. It was quite by accident. But it was sung that morning at both early service and our second service. And then it was sung again that night as a part of our sermon and song. And these are the words, at least the first line of them, that were written in this song that we know of as "It Is Well." I want you to pay attention to the words, and then I want you to think about them for a minute. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll," doesn't matter which one, even if it's both, "whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." When Mr. Spafford wrote those words, we told the story last Sunday night. Won't hurt us again to just think about it very briefly. He had sent his wife and children on ahead on a trip to England, and he had to stay behind for business ventures or for business problems. And he received a telegram after learning of the shipwreck from his wife when she had finally made it to the shores of England. And she simply wrote the words, "Saved alone." And their daughters were killed in that shipwreck, or the sinking of that ship. And he made as quick arrangements as he could in order to go and to join his wife. And the story is told that somewhere in the vicinity of where that ship went down, he was called to the captain's cabin. And the captain told him that he thought they were at that moment passing over where that ship lay at the bottom of the sea. And the story goes that at that point, We don't know how long he'd been thinking about it, how long he'd been working on it, but at that point, he took pen in hand and he began to write. And he wrote the words that became this song, and this is the first line of it. When peace like a river, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Now here's what I want us to think about. What drives a man in that situation to write these words? Of all the things he could have put pen in hand to do, why did he do this? And of all the things he could have said and could have written, why this? Why did he write this? He tells us, you know. He tells us in the words of the song, you have taught me to say. Learn behavior. Taught by God. And so we get a glimpse into the heart and the mind and the thinking of this man from the words that he writes. And God tells us that. From all of our words, whatever we choose them to be, whatever we choose to say, whatever we choose to write, we show our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will talk and the pen will write. And so we tell about us and we tell about our heart. It was a sobering moment for me to realize, and it's also been a thing to keep in mind, that whenever I open my mouth and say something, I'm telling you more about me than I am about you. Even if my words are talking about you, I'm telling you more about me than I am about you. Whenever somebody opens their mouth and says something to me, they're telling me more about them than they are about whoever it is they're talking to or talking about. And it's true of all of us. And Mr. Spafford tells us a great deal about his heart when he wrote these words, the words of this song. It also tells us that this is learned behavior because God's word is not something that he just memorizes or reads. It teaches him. It's trained him. It's taught him. It has brought him to be what God would have him to be. The psalm that I chose for the reading this morning is Psalms 19. Psalms 19 begins with the first six verses with the writer of this psalm describing all the works of God's creation that show his amazing power. And he talks about considering all the things that God has made and all the things that God has done. And then he comes to verse 7. And he talks about the word that God has written and all the things that God has said in his scripture and in the words that he gives to us. And having this complete and total reflection upon God and all that he's done and all that he has said, he concludes the psalm with these words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My words, my thoughts, let them be what you want them to be, is the thing David learns and the thing that David writes in Psalm 19:14. What are my words? What are my thoughts? What are the meditations of my heart? Are they the things that are acceptable to God and acceptable in his sight? The reason this ties into the 4th of July is because this is all about integrity. Our nation has lost its integrity. And the only way a nation can lose its integrity is if its individuals lose integrity. Losing integrity means we lose honesty with ourselves and we lose honesty with God. Where the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart, we no longer seek to be acceptable to God. We just want to make sure they don't offend somebody. And we just want to make sure that we don't hurt somebody's feelings. We just want to make sure that we do what is good and right in the sight of others. And we pay no attention to God. We're more interested in political interest than we are in God's. We're more interested in personal interest than we are in God's. And we lose our integrity. And this nation cannot survive when its citizens and its leadership loses integrity. And this is what this psalm is all about. Recognizing and honoring God and holding to integrity, which is what Job did. Job never turned his back on God. He never cursed God. He didn't understand what God was doing, but he never lost sight that God was the one in control and he was striving to serve him. And the thing God said about him was he never lost his integrity. And this is the heart of it. My words, my thoughts, are they who I am? Or am I playing a part on a stage? Integrity. May my words. I want you to think about this psalm. I want you to think about him as he writes it and put yourself in his place. These are words coming out of tragedy. His daughters are dead. He never had a chance to say goodbye. He'd never see them again in this life. And they are gone from this life. They have not ceased to exist. They have died. And depending upon their relationship with God, for God, the death of those who belong to Him and love Him is a blessed thing. And they are not dead to God. But they are dead to Him. And all the heartbreak and all of the heartache that would come with that is His. And so these are the words that He chooses to write out of this tragedy. And these are the words that He chooses to write and to put on paper in regard to the death of His two daughters. And they are words that uplift. They are words that build up. Wednesday night, I spoke at Fort Payne Summer Series, and Melvin Otte spoke here. On my way to Fort Payne, I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I was saying a prayer to God, asking Him to be with Melvin, that what he would say would be uplifting. And asking God to be with me, that what I would say would be uplifting. And I got to thinking about that word, uplifting. What do I mean by that? What am I saying in my prayer? What are my thoughts and what's my intent as I use that word, uplift? Because so often we use the word uplift, let it be something that everybody enjoys. Let it be something that everybody's built up by and feel good about. But built up toward what end? And I knew what I meant by uplift. And I wanted, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to stop and reflect on it, think about it, contemplate it, and deal with it. To me, uplift means always to move closer to God. It's not necessarily causing people to enjoy something or feel better about themselves, but it's always the idea of moving people closer to God. And isn't that what this song does? It uplifts us. It encourages us. It builds us up in the sense that it moves us closer to God and helps us to better understand Him. Building up, moving toward God. There are so many other things He could have done and so many other things that people would have done. Can you imagine how many people would have taken pen in hand and wrote a scathing, venomous letter to the people in charge of the ship that sank? to the irresponsibility of their hiring of the pilot, to their irresponsibility of the way that they had chosen to take that ship, or maybe other things that might have gone, because it was done by human beings and not everything was done perfectly. I don't know what the story is about the tragedy. I think it was a storm at sea. I don't know what blame could have been placed at others, but with human beings involved in anything, there's always blame that can be cast at the feet of someone. But there are no words of venom. There are no words of hatred. There are no words of lashing out and getting through my words to let people know just how much I despise them and what they've done and what they've caused in my life. There are no words that tear down and destroy. There are no words that tear down the individuals who were on the ship, who were responsible for it, tear down and destroy anyone else. These are not words that tear down and destroy. These are words that build up. When peace like a river, when sorrows like sea billows roll, no matter my lot, you have taught me how to react, how to think, how to speak, how to be what you would have me to be. Words that come from the heart, that's learned what it means to count it all joy. It's the way James writes. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall under all different kinds of trials and troubles. Count it all joy because you know that all that suffering that you go through builds perseverance. It's what God designed it to do. To show you to be a person that no matter what happens in life, you will be what God would have you to be. And you will maintain your integrity through whatever situations you face in life of being what God would have you to be. And you've learned the lesson of what it means to count it all joy. And we learn that from this song and from these words. Don't you see how desperately our country needs that? How desperately we need to come back to trust in God and come back to integrity. Because it's had its impact on what we say about others, what we write to others, what we do to others. And we would take pen in hand and write venom. And here is a man who took pen in hand and wrote words that move us closer to God. And God gives us an example of what it means to be like Him and what it means to be what He would have us to be. So on this 4th of July and on this Sunday, let's resolve to let the words of our mouth and the thoughts of our heart be pleasing to Him. Be what God would have them to be. Be pleasing to God. And let's build back our integrity as individuals, as family, as church family, as a nation. Let's move ourselves back to where God would have us to be and show the heart that give words that uplift. Are you in Christ? If you've not been baptized into Him, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you desire to come back to Christ, we invite you to come as together we stand and as we sing.